For the ones who know safety isn't a catchphrase, it's a culture. And the ones who help make sure everyone makes it home safe. For the safety-minded who watch everyone's backs, Grainger offers supplies and solutions for every industry, as well as safety assessments and training to keep your facilities safe and your people safer. Call, clickgrainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
We now return to the Mike Calta Show on 102.5 The Bone.
It is 9:27 on the Mike Calta Show. It's 102.5 The Bone. Joe Mackey is here. How are you, buddy?
I'm good. How are you?
Do you know you're one of the favorites, I think, of the staff on this show? Every time we talk about you coming, everybody gets very excited.
Oh, good. You guys have good taste.
Yeah. You're also, I find, the same person off the air that you are on the air. There's no act with you.
Tough. The bad boy.
Yeah.
Women love me. Yep. They're afraid of me.
I understand. Same girlfriend?
Same girlfriend.
The one you still will never show us a picture of?
No, I will not.
Okay. By all accounts, they say she's pretty, pretty.
She exists as well. Oh, a lot of people are like, you're just lying. Joe, everything you say is fake, and you've never even talked to a woman alone.
Yeah. I start to believe that. I see a lot of you on Fox News, man. They love you over there.
Oh, they do. I was just laughing at their chyron. They just took it off, but it was a naval captain.
Right.
And it said he's just back after foiling Houthi attacks. They use the word foiling.
You know, the foiling only comes when somebody tried to tie somebody to a railroad track. No. And then they were foiled again.
He's like, twisting his mustache. Drat, you got me again, Popeye.
You don't really hear foiling a lot. How you been, man? How's everything going?
Oh, good. I mean, this is week 7 in a row for me. So
of what?
Being on the road.
Oh, really?
Yeah. I mean, you just rocked Cleveland, you probably heard.
Yeah, everybody was talking about it.
Just got down here.
Yeah.
So. Do you like the road? To me, it seems like the best possible, especially in a relationship. You leave on a Wednesday, and then just when you start missing her, you come back, and then when she gets in your nerves, you leave again.
To be honest with you, I love being on the road. It's so fun doing shows.
Yeah.
But the flying.
I bet that's a pain in the ass.
It's gotten so much worse since the pandemic. Your flight's canceled again for no reason.
I don't fly a lot, so I don't have to deal with all that stuff. Being fat and flying is pretty pain in the ass, too.
I would imagine. I'm pretty ripped.
Yeah, no, you're good.
Even my muscles.
You're good.
I'm just like, I can't barely get my quads in a coach seat.
Do you fly first class because you get a lot of miles and stuff?
I do get a lot of upgrades. Yeah. And boy, do I love looking at the people walking past me in coach. I'm like, yes.
It's part of the business. You ever see somebody pass you that you feel bad for? Like, you're like, oh, they deserve the seat more than I do.
Yes, yeah, all the time.
Yeah, no, but I don't mean like military heroes and stuff. I mean like famous people. Like, you ever get, like, I was on a flight one time. I'm a big Yankee fan, and right after the World Series, Tino Martinez got on the flight, and he was sitting in coach because it was a small flight. And they only had a small first class, and I went, "Oh, he deserves to sit up." Like, I felt like I should be swapping my seat out with him.
Yeah, I mean, I could see why you'd think that. Also, like, kind of crazy he didn't book ahead.
In all honesty, they had a World Series and then there was a boxing match, and I think they probably couldn't because the series didn't know how long it was going to go.
I've
already thought it out in my head.
Well, last time he was in Salt Lake City, there was a UFC match, and this guy, I guess the other guy didn't make weight, but they still fought, and this guy got knocked out, and everyone was coming up to him on, like, when we were boarding, getting pictures and stuff, and I'm like, wow, this guy's getting recognized by everybody. And I was just eavesdropping because, you know, they were talking in public, and that's what you do. You
sure,
listen
sure.
in. Hey, if you don't want to eavesdrop, don't talk.
Zip it.
Yeah. And he was sitting in coach with me, like,
oh, really?
In the middle seat.
He got beat and he had to sit in coach?
Yeah, I was just like, oh man, maybe it was his entourage with him, but like, you just felt bad. And he was a pretty tall fella.
Yeah, I don't. I had to fly coach for the first time recently to go to California, of all a 5-hour flight. But I have a skinny little 11-year-old daughter that sat in between me and my wife, so it was really wasn't
oh,
so
perfect.
Bad.
Yeah.
I got a buffer.
Mm-hmm.
Joe Mackey is here. I'll never forget. I spent a whole the first time you're on the show. I called you Joe Mackey for the whole time. You didn't even correct me one time. That's how polite of a guy you are.
I'm a humble genius. Yes. That's what I tell people.
Yes, that's what we often say.
I don't need
about
to show
you.
Off. I don't need to join Mensa. People know I'm smart. I don't need an organization.
Where do you live? You live in New York?
No, I live right outside the city in Weehawken, New Jersey.
Oh, yeah.
People call it New Jersey's Paris.
Right.
Do they?
Yeah.
Weehawken is New Jersey's Paris.
Well, I don't know if you've been to Paris. It sucks.
Oh, man. And do you work? Do you still work in the New York comedy clubs, or do you mostly just travel?
I do. It's tough because I write for Gutfeld in the mornings. So I have to be up early, so it's tough. I try to put in a couple nights a week at the cellar, but I don't always get there.
Okay, so you get up in the morning, you go over to Fox News. What do? Give me the routine. This sounds like the best job.
Yeah, I wake up, I get there, and it's like...
What is the mode of transportation from the Paris of New Jersey to... Do you subway in, or what do you do?
I take the bus.
Oh, you bus? You take a city bus? They're not even paying you enough to Uber you in.
I take a New Jersey Transit bus.
Oh, man.
A public state disgusting bus, which is beneath me.
Yes. You come in from Paris on the bus.
Yes.
Yeah. And then you go over to Fox News and what? You there's like a writer's room?
Oh, there's no room. It's what they call a cubicle.
So this is the least glamorous job I've ever heard of. Show's been number one.
Yeah, well, you know, we don't need all the fancy frills.
Right, okay.
We're down to earth. Myself and Joe DeVito.
Is that who is writing? You, Joe DeVito?
We got
else?
One other guy who's not a comic, but he's written for a whole bunch of comedy shows. And then.
What's his name?
His name's Dan. Some regular people from the news industry who like write these stories, and then we add jokes to it.
Yeah.
And the great thing is like with stand-up comedy, you're building an act over a year. Yeah. This one, it's like it's gone. You don't have to take your work home with you ever. So
you just and do you have see? We try to do a thing. This would have been good. We try to do this thing called Six at Nine. We do it like once a month, maybe, because it's so brutal. But Galvin on Wednesday will send us headlines, six headlines.
Okay.
And then we have to write punchlines for him. And in some instances, we really try very hard. And then sometimes we just, like Carmen will just make up facts because there's no funny line. I mean, that you get severe writer's block when you have to do it.
Yeah, you do. And sometimes, like, I don't know if you notice this, sometimes the news is kind of depressing.
Yeah. Like, it's hard to make things funny when you're talking about, prisoners in Gaza.
Fiery bus crash kills eight.
Yeah. do you get stuck a lot?
No, because usually if it's a terrible subject, you can make a joke that's about something ancillary to it.
Yeah.
So if there's this horrible subject, you can be like, make a joke about how the town's terrible.
Yeah,
it's try to deflect away from that.
Gutfeld should take a hot or not from us. Mm-hmm. Like everybody does a hot or not, but we do it based on criminals in the news. So
it's just the facts. They don't see the picture, and I read them the facts about the age and where they're from and what they did, and then they decide whether they're going to be hot or not, and then we reveal the picture.
Yeah.
She's 47. Mm-hmm. She's a stenographer.
Mm-hmm.
For a law firm, and she embezzled. Yes, she's hot.
We need her first name. We need her first name, and we need Beverly. How old she is. Beverly. Beverly. I'm going to go no on the Beverly. I'm going to say she's...
Is there steam coming off of me right now?
I feel like Gutfeld is open up to something like a hot or not. That's an entertaining show.
Oh, thank you. Yeah, no. It's all because of me, unless it's bad.
Right, I understand.
Why is the Tampa in that hat upside down?
It's a company called Reverse Brand, and they make a bunch of different logos and teams and sports with their with the thing upside down.
Oh, because it seems like Tampa's in distress.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. It's similar.
Which now, is, I guess, kind of true.
So if you're a Penn State guy, it would have a Penn upside down in major distress.
2012, yes. The flag was upside down.
Where were you? Were you at the school during those times? Or no?
No, I had long since graduated. I graduated.
Wait, it's hard to tell because you look like you're 25 years old.
Yeah, the effects of the sun are impervious to, yes. I'm impervious to them, but yeah, I was long since graduated.
I feel like in high school you were smarter. You probably had your little clique.
Yeah, my nickname was Werkel.
Werkel?
Yeah, it was White Urkel.
Oh, that's not good.
So, you know, just like making everyone laugh.
Yeah.
Every Friday Werkel. Night.
I feel like in high school, like there's a certain kind of nerd, if you will.
Yeah.
That is, but is a cool nerd. And I even though they're a nerd, I still can't get into that group. Like, I feel like you wouldn't have liked me in high school.
Oh, no. I would have liked. We'd have been best friends.
I don't know. I probably would have liked you, but I'd probably been like, Werkel don't want to hang out with me.
Werkel's got chicks.
Werkel's got his own group that like, he hangs out in.
Like I go home, and I wouldn't be Steve Urkel. I'd be Stefan.
Right.
The alter ego. Yeah. Werkel.
Like, there was that group of nerds in high school that went home on Friday and did cool stuff. Like, they played poker. And drank, you know, Schlitz beer.
Sprite.
And they were drinking a man, or they drank whiskey. You know what I'm saying? Like something that we weren't doing.
Your school had different nerds.
Yeah, I guess. It's not really nerd. Nerd's not right. They loved good movies, and they I don't know. We were all like going out and doing.
I don't know. I think we're conflating the terms nerd and dork.
I was a dork. Yeah.
Yeah. Smart kid, but kind of a slacker troll.
Right.
Like, I used to tell that. I was like, oh, you got a C. Well, don't worry. There's nothing wrong with being average. It's just that you won't have success in your future job prospects.
Thanks, dork. I don't know. Is that your area where you grew up, Pennsylvania?
Yeah, right in the middle, State College, where Penn State is.
Oh, really?
Grew up in the college town.
Oh, so you were right. You were susceptible the whole time to the coaches.
Oh, you know, surprisingly, the football team did not take much interest in me, despite my ripped physique.
Didn't invite Werkel onto the field? Oh, that's so funny. And then when did you start doing stand-up? Like, when did you realize, like, what did you do first? Did you?
I wanted to do stand-up when I was a kid.
You did?
Who'd you like? I was a huge Norm Macdonald fan.
Yeah.
I mean, him doing Week Update was so funny.
Yeah.
And I especially loved it when the jokes didn't work.
Yeah, and Norm would just be great with it.
Oh, my goodness. It just continued. And even on his talk show where he would read those have the guests read those intentionally.
He was in the studio with us, and it was probably one of the highlights. And I told him at the end that we were doing afternoons at the time, and I said, this has ruined my whole day that you were going to be here. And he's like, why? I go, because we're such fans. I didn't want to be boring to you. I wanted you to have a good time. And he seemed like he enjoyed that day.
I've never heard that he was difficult to work with. I was always fun and friendly.
He was super fun and friendly. And the best is he was like, I'm going to do Howard Stern next week. He's like, I'd mention you, but then he'll just call you a jerk off and talked about how you ripped off all his stuff. That's what he does to everybody. I said, yep, yeah, I get it. Yeah, no, he was great, man. I loved having him. That's one of the highlights of us on the show.
Oh, that's pretty cool. I mean, you must feel like that right now.
Yes. This is the second highlight.
Yeah.
So what do? You like Norm, and you're like, I think I might want to try to do stand up.
Yeah, and like I did some like stuff in my youth group, but like I did some open mics in college.
See,
but, like,
you're in a youth group. That's how you know you're a dork. Yeah.
Like
is that through a church or something?
I was actually one of the cool kids.
In the youth group? Well, yeah. Sure. Who is it?
They're like, whoa, he talks to adults.
Yeah. All right, so, you did a couple of things.
Yeah, and then I did some open mics in college. There was really no scene at the time, whereas now there's like stand-up. There's a club at Penn State, but there's like even big towns have a comedy scene.
Yeah.
I was doing open mics, and there was like jerks doing Dave Matthews covers. Like, nobody wanted to hear anything
new. So it wasn't comedy open mic, it was just open mic.
Yeah, that's right. And you get some crazies
there,
not me, the other people.
Yeah.
And then, so I decided, after like a couple years after college, I even my dad was like, you're not getting any younger. If you want to do this, you got to do it now. So I did.
Would you move, or you just started doing it from where you were?
I moved to New York, and I moved to Weehawken, New Jersey. It's right across the river.
Yeah.
New Jersey's Paris. And I took some stand-up classes at the Comic Strip. This guy, D.F. Swedler, who still teaches it. And
Did you ever stop to think this? This is what bugs me.
What's that?
Taking lessons from D.F. Swedler. who, like, if you said Norm MacDonald was giving lessons, like, when radio guys, when they're like, we have a consultant coming in, his name is Bill Miller, and they're like, oh, what has he done? Nothing. He's D.F. Sweetler has never done anything.
Well, he did do A&E's Comedy on the Road. He'd also been doing it for decades, but, you know, a lot of people poo-poo comedy clubs, comedy classes.
Right.
I think the reason they do that is because a lot of people have unethically traded off
yes.
the name of something or promised that industry would see you, which yeah. is preposterous.
Yeah.
Industry's not going to see people do their first stand-up right, ever. Right, right.
The guys from Letterman will be here in yeah, your final it's class. Just, it's
so they kind of like give people false hope, and there's a cottage industry of like living off people's dreams.
Yeah, yeah.
But DF didn't do that,
yeah.
and this is a legit comic. And, you know, people say, oh, no one can make you funny, and that's true. But you know, just like someone can tell you how to hold a paintbrush.
Yeah, it doesn't have to make you funny. If you are funny, they could bring it out of you.
Right. And yeah. Sam Morril was in my class.
Oh, really?
And he succeeded, too. So, I mean, it's not – I understand why people have a thing against comedy classes.
I don't have anything against right. it. I just, my thing was, like I always feel like if you're going to learn from somebody, it should be somebody who – like anytime I have a program director – who tries to tell me what's better for the show. I go, what did you do? You know what I mean? And that always bugs me. But it's not that he's not good. I don't know the
but
guy.
But you've also been doing this for a while.
Right.
So it's like, yeah, I was just kind of green off the street.
No, yeah, yeah, yeah.
And,
look, yeah, if the guy was on A&E at the Improv, whatever.
And also he's somebody, in New York City right, doing it. It's not like he's some guy in Yucca. Right. Yeah.
By the way, speaking of open mic stuff, Joe was on Crashing, which I don't know whether it was the open mic thing, but when you played the robot,
that was
one of the funniest things, man.
Yeah, it was hard getting my quads into that box. It was so muscular. But,
that was such a great performance.
Oh, thank you. I think that there was I have a vague recollection of seeing a guy who actually did did a robot bit. I don't know if that inspired that.
Yeah,
but they let me come on there and write my own jokes for it.
Oh, they did?
Which was really cool, yeah.
No, was that Judd Apatow?
Yeah, I think he was like the head executive producer,
right.
but someone else was the director. I can't remember.
I went to the store one time when I, not the store, the cellar, and when I left, Judd Apatow was out there. They were actually filming in the streets.
Oh yeah.
He was hands on then. Oh, that's pretty all right. So you do the open mics. When do you start getting good?
You know, they had this thing at the comic strip, which was in like on their website. It was the only thing where I could see an audition process.
Okay.
Because you're always when the internet wasn't that great then. I was like, how do I get someone to take a chance on me? They had this audition process at the comic strip for this thing called Late Night, which was after the regularly scheduled show ended on the weeknights.
Right.
They would take the people who passed for Late Night and just say, hey, audience, regular show's over. We've got some up-and-comers here. You can buy drinks at the bar and let them go up. And we would tag team it. Sometimes the whole crowd would leave.
Oh, yeah.
But sometimes, you know, especially like on a Memorial Day, the Sunday night, we'd have 90 people and they'd be a real crowd, not like a... Sometimes the bar show crowd in the city, it's very homogenous. It's like 30-year-olds in Brooklyn that know all about Pokemon,
right.
but nothing about mowing a lawn.
Yeah, yeah.
So it was great to have the chance to do a real show in front of a real crowd. And I passed for that in 2006, not long after I came to the city. So it was like me and Sam were just like off to the races after that. And then
was there anybody else in your class that we might know?
There was one other guy I thought was really funny, but he's since passed away. And he, it was interesting. Like, I could tell Sam was funny a minute into the first class. I could tell this other guy was funny. He was an older guy who played, he was a musician that just wanted to try stand-up.
Oh, yeah?
And he really got into it. No one else in that particular class. I know he's had some other people really succeed. I just, I think, if I'm not mistaken, Rob Riegel actually took
some. Oh, really?
Yeah.
Ooh. I hate him.
Really?
Yeah, I think he's one of the most unfunny. He ruins football for me on the weekends.
What does he do for football? He made me laugh on The Daily Show. I know that.
Yeah, no, he just too much yelling and all that. Funny people don't do that. You know, I don't know. That's my opinion. But I think Sam is great.
Oh,
The fact that the two of you came out of there and both had both successes out of that one class, that's enough credential right there for them to sell another class.
Yeah, and this late night thing that the strip did, that's where Chris Rock got his big start.
Oh, really?
He was like just trying to like hustle, and Eddie Murphy's like, put this guy on.
Yeah.
Went from there. But
Did you get any comics early on that were like kind of take you under their wing kind of guys? Like, hey, this guy, like people look at you and you do unique stuff. You know, you're not just a run-of-the-mill comedian. Somebody that say, hey, this guy's got something special.
Thank you. I break a lot of ground. I get that a lot. But yeah, a couple guys. This guy, Jay Larson, who's out west now. Really funny dude. Helped me out a bit. Pete Corielli.
I love Pete.
Oh, man, that guy is freaking hilarious.
Pete Corielli is what I can, like... I know he does a podcast with Sebastian.
Yeah.
But I would just rather hear Pete Corielli drug stories for the rest of my life. He is just so funny to me, and the way he tells a story, he's great.
He is a great storyteller. Yeah. I mean, he had this just crying about, like, the story about this guy left his strollers outside of his apartment. He just kept getting sick of these mundane things. He can make a 10-minute story that'll have to
He help. Told us a story about him trying to sneak drugs into... What was it? It was like
Lebanon,
the Middle East
or
something,
yeah, somewhere.
Like that. Like he's just it's great. Like it's things that you like. This can't be a real story, and then the way he tells it is fantastic.
Yeah, yeah.
Well, that's good. I'm glad. I'm glad things worked out for you. Now you're now. I got here's my problem. Who's your agent?
I'm with Innovative Artists.
Well, you might want to listen. You got to go there and go. I'm writing on the number one late night show on television right now. We've innovated late night. And with this Gutfeld show, I'm going to need better transportation out of Weehawken into the city. And I'm going to need more than a cubicle.
Yeah, I deserve a corner office. I'll go along with that.
All right. I like that. Well, Joe Mackey, we're done. I didn't even realize we're running out of time for the show. Joe Mackey's going to be at Sidesplitters. It's going to be tonight, 7:30 and 10, Saturday, 8 and 10:30, and Sunday at 6 o'clock. Very funny, and honestly, when I say one of the show favorites, like when we find out you're coming, we get very excited.
Oh, thanks for having me. Appreciate it.
It's great to see you again, and I find it very interesting how you came up. I did not know about comedy classes and Sam Morrell. That's hilarious.
Oh, yeah. Thank you.
Anything else you want to plug? You got any website or anything like that? Or
follow me on Instagram. Comedian Joe Mackey, and those early shows are selling, so get your tickets quick because they're going to be out pretty soon. Still got some room on the late shows, but hustle. Don't wait on these.
Don't wait. Go see Joe Mackey this week at Sidesplitters. Anything next week I need to know about Spanish? Oh, you're not even paying attention. You're even in this world? Are you even in the room with us?
Yes, I am, Michael.
Okay.
Next week we have Galvin's open letter.
Yeah, I'm familiar with the staples.
We got best every week for the last 17 years.
Yeah.
And that's it.
Oh, yeah. Monday's Memorial Day. We're off.
Yes.
Best of.
When are you going home for Memorial Day, or will you stay here and enjoy the weekend in Florida?
I'm going to go home.
Travel on the busy travel day.
When you live in the Paris of New Jersey, you're going to go home.
Sure. Right?
I think, like, I'm flying out early. That's not when people are going to want to be at the beach here.
You're right. I'll be at the beach. That's what I do.
Don't blame you.
Flexing on the workers on the beach. Joe, thank you. Everybody else, thank you. We are out of here. Check us out on Instagram at the Mike Calta Show, and we'll see you live on Tuesday. Have a great weekend. Goodbye.
This is the story of the one. As a maintenance engineer, he hears things differently. To the untrained ear, everything on his shop floor might sound fine, but he can hear gears grinding or a belt slipping. So he steps in to fix the problem at hand before it gets out of hand. And he knows Granger's got the right product he needs to get the job done, which is music to his ears. Call, click Granger.com, or just stop by. Granger, for the ones who get it done.